I don't think they interfered in any sense. They did debate the situation. And by the way, the title of the debate was also the implications of the democratic backsliding or deterioration on its impact on the Palestinian territories.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a wider context. And the EU takes a lot of interest in the conflict between Israel and Palestine. So in that respect, let me give a wider perspective, perhaps. It is, I think, strange for Israelis to think that a parliament would discuss, you know, foreign relations of other countries or regions
mm-hmm.
in its assembly, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have the foreign policy or defense policy committee, but why to have a wide discussion in the assembly? So it's very much normal situation for the European Parliament. And I'll just give examples. Yesterday, before the discussion about Israel, it debated the transatlantic relations. Then afterwards, it debated the situation in Georgia and then Moldova and Armenia-EU relations. So it's really a common procedure for the European Parliament, and we can ask why. So the European Union has a common foreign and security policy since the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
It has historical relations with different countries and regions across the globe since, you know, you can go back to imperial colonial times. And this is a legacy that the EU received. It is a big economic power. It's the third one in the world after the United States and China. So it has a lot of interest, economic interest and other ones. It sees itself as a normative power, right? That it could promote peace, democracy, human rights, rule of law, stop death penalties. And that was one of the main concerns that were debated in Israel because of the legislation that has been proposed and promoted in Israel on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
So the European Parliament would also like to influence other institutions within the European Union, so mainly the Council, the European Commission, the European External Action Service, and holding a debate is one mechanism. Another reason why the European Parliament would debate it would be to demonstrate, you know, to their voters that they're expressing concerns, they're expressing their position on the issue. And we can also relate to the fact that the EU-Israel relations, also European-Palestine relations, have a long durée, and they are very, very rich, especially the EU-Israeli relations. The EU is the biggest trading partner of Israel. A third of our export goes there. Almost half of our import comes from there. We are part of the Horizon Europe Research and Innovation
right.
Program. So, and by the way, you speak, for example, about Horizon Program, the EU actually decided to suspend Hungary from Horizon Europe because of democratic backsliding and because of sort of biased funding distribution to the academic institutions that were favored by Orban's government. So there could be some implications in the future if the democratic situation in Israel would become similar, for example, to what is happening in Hungary when it and its relations to the academic institutions there. So those are general concerns why the European Parliament would hold such
debate. You talked about, you know, peace, democracy, human rights, and you mentioned Hungary and other nations in the European Union itself, maybe Poland and Italy, are also taking a more right-wing turn. Do they also make these sort of discussions about their own countries, like Hungary and
absolutely.
Italy?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the European Parliament itself declared that Hungary is no longer a democracy.
Mm-hmm.
It has a procedural problem how to deal with Hungary, because I think, you know, when the European Parliament, the European Union, actually the member states wrote the treaties that are obliging the European Union to act accordingly, it didn't occur to him that there would be backsliding of democracy within its own member states. And there is a big issue of, you know, following democratic trends and democratic backsliding in Poland, in Hungary, maybe some just to a much smaller extent in
mm-hmm.
other countries across the European Union. But obviously, Hungary is the worst example. Poland is the other one. It's most definitely holding procedures against those countries and trying to examine, for example, with relations to Hungary, the EU actually withheld funding to Hungary because of its democratic backsliding. And it was considering perhaps to do the same with Poland if Poland would not fix some of the legislation that it has been conducting against the independence of its judiciary, for example. So the Polish and the Hungarian case are very similar. If you look at them, there are very similar, various similarities to the Israeli, to the current plans of the Israeli government.
Right.
We could really draw the parallels there when it comes to the judiciary, in the future probably to the academic world, to to the media, to civil society organizations. It's really, you could follow the thread. And it is something that the European Union is taking a lot of interest in. In general, it is interested in democratic situation across the world. If you can think about the Arab Spring, right, or Arab Winter, that had major implications on the EU when it came to regional stability, to immigration, and other interests that it impact on the EU. So, you know, it was a general discussion. It doesn't really have immediate implications on Israel or on Israel-EU relations. It didn't even have a resolution at the end. It was simply a discussion.
So we shouldn't get too upset about it.
No, I think we can be upset about the fact that the pro-Israeli camp within the European Parliament actually raised a lot of concern about this backsliding of democracy. So we are used to hear criticism about Israel from the European Parliament members that are not in favor of Israel, and that's normal business for us. But we are not used to hear criticism from the friends of Israel. And yesterday we had several friends that criticized or raised concerns about the suggested legislation and the processes of ongoing legislation. And definitely we hear stronger voices in Europe by different leaders criticizing this backsliding of democracy and the threat to democracy in Israel as they see it. And this is a criticism among friends. Those are governments that are really pro-Israel. Olaf Scholz and Annalena Baerbock are very much friends of Israel. Also in London, the conservative government is a friend of Israel. So this is really an extraordinary situation when it comes to Israel-European relation. And I think it is extremely worrisome that our relations, our really good relations with those countries are being hurt.
Yet, Israel, obviously the Netanyahu government sees Europe as very important, and Netanyahu has gone to Rome, he's gone to Paris, he's going to Berlin today, and next week he's supposed to go to Britain, to London. Why do you think the Prime Minister is making these visits to Europe?
This could also be seen in the wider perspective of European concerns, actually. There are Israeli concerns. Obviously, Iran is the major one.
Right.
But the other concern of Europe, actually, is the war of Russia in Ukraine, where Iran is also involved. So there is actually, a twist in the story of how Israel was positioned vis-a-vis the JCPOA, this agreement against, Iran developing a nuclear weapon. And now Europe actually sees much more eye to eye with Israel on the Iranian question. So, Europe is also in need of Israeli gas going through Egypt. It is in need for Israeli intelligence when it comes to Iranian weaponry, which is on the border of the EU. And other security deals that it has with Israel.
But we have a foreign minister. I mean, isn't that his job?
When it comes to Iran, no. Please notice that Netanyahu was always the one dealing with the Iranian issue. So this is one, thing that is important for Israel and is important for Netanyahu to promote. But also, trying to convince the leaders of the country that Israel is not under a democratic backsliding and not to speak against Israel in those terms. So this is, a secondary issue that I don't think Netanyahu would like to promote that, but he would have to reply and respond and try to sort of appease the other European leaders. Netanyahu also likes to travel around the world and show himself as a very, important leader, being welcomed in European capitals. I think this is a situation where demonstrations are taking place outside of those. His meeting places are very, uncomfortable for him, to say the least. And I think it's important also for the leaders in Europe to hear those voices by concerned Israelis across Europe, and you know, Jews that are supporting those voices against the backsliding of democracy in Israel.